Hole.
KBOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present the Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. I'm Ron Thomas hosting today and very pleased to be joined once again by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist at Central Care Cancer Center. Dr. Wazir, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Ron.
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm enjoying the start of summer. It's nice. The weather is awesome here in Kansas. That kind of like ties in with our topic, because the sun is out.
That's a perfect segue, Dr. Wazir. So how are things at Central Care Cancer Center?
I'm glad to report, actually, and I'm probably the first one kind of telling the public that this is what's going on, but our company made a fairly large investment to get a new Linac machine. So a Linac machine is a linear accelerator. So this would improve the radiation therapy that our cancer patients get over here in Emporia. I mean, the old machine was pretty good, nothing wrong with it. But technology moves forward. They've gotten better with a technology called IMRT, which is modulating the radiation to exactly fit a 3D space by moving the cam where the radiation source is. Hopefully our plan is that by August we'll be up and running with the new machine. And from the chemotherapy point of view, we have one of our a new staff member who has kind of onboarded very well and has really taken to oncology in a good way. She's a nurse practitioner, she used to be an ER nurse, Miss Hannah Schmidt. So we're very excited to have her, and she's making sure that our cancer patients get like high quality care at all times. So
that equipment upgrade, so that's significant then?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. Radiation therapy, we know the doses what to give, and we know, what kind of doses give you the best chance of cure and stuff. But the thing that has kind of changed over the last 15 to 20 years is, the computerization of it, the better visualization of 3D spaces and the planning part of it. So, the newer machines, they're just better at like delivering the radiation exactly where you want it and not to the places that where you don't want it. So there's less spillage per se, and you can have more detailed maps. So, it definitely makes a difference, the side effects decrease like if you just give the dose where you need it and not where you don't need it.
Yeah, very fortunate to have Central Care Cancer Center, top-notch technology here at Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th Avenue here in Emporia. Well, Dr. Wazir, you know this. May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and we're getting to be that time of the year. You mentioned the nicer weather, warmer weather is upon us, and skin cancer obviously is something we can do a number of things to avoid. So let's talk about skin cancer and exactly what it is. What types of skin cancer do we look at?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is fairly straightforward that like skin cancer is any cancer that starts in the skin. So it's kind of interesting, but skin is the biggest organ that you have as a human being, right, by volume. And it's a frequent site of cancer from other parts of your body ending up on the skin. So you do see that quite often in practice. But, when we say skin cancer, we're talking about cancers that start in the skin. And, they fall into, the large categories. One of them are, perhaps the most common one is squamous cell cancer of the skin, which is like cancer that starts from the top layers of the skin, So squamous cells are your body's protection against the outside, right? So this is the predominant cell that's on your skin. It's the predominant cell that's, around you, the openings of your body, like your mouth, your upper part of your esophagus, your anal canal, what have you, right? So that's one type of skin cancer. The other one is called a basal cell cancer, and as the name implies, it's from deeper layers of the skin. That's where it arises from. And then you have probably the one which we deal with quite often, unfortunately, melanoma, which is from the the melanocytes, which are the cells that give color. Your particular skin hue is largely due to two factors, right? One is like the melanocytes, which kind of like determine whether, you have a darker appearance, or your, you know, have a browner kind of appearance based on your, you know, racial makeup and what have you. And then the other part is your blood vessels, you know, which kind of give you like the pink and reddish hues, and, you know, what color you end up with is kind of like a, you know, combination of these two things. But anyways, melanomas are cancers that arise from these cells, the melanocytes. So those are the three large categories you should think about in skin cancers.
Now, Dr. Wazir, how quickly does skin cancer generally progress?
So, you know, thankfully, you know, skin cancer usually gives us a lot of time to kind of like deal with it, right? Number one, you know, you need to kind of like understand that a lot of the skin cancers have like a lesion that is a precancerous lesion, right? So you've talked about this in the past where there's like precancers in the breast, for example, you know, DCIs, etc. So this skin cancer also, you know, usually, you know, it'll be in an area of sun damage, right? You know, in different parts of your body. And sometimes, or there you'll have a lesion that will be like a precancer. So, you know, if you are, you know, you follow up with a dermatologist, you have been kind of identified by your primary care doctor and your dermatologist that, hey, this is someone who needs to be observed and, you know, the skin kind of looked at very carefully. And then they find like spots that they think is, you know, concerning, then they kind of like take it out. And, you know, so generally speaking, you know, like skin cancer, you know, usually it's a lesion that has been around for a time. You know, it's very unusual for something just to start off and just be cancerous from the get-go. Usually it's a smaller lesion that was around for a while and you kind of neglected, and then eventually, you know, it gave it enough time for it to kind of like progress and become something more serious. And, you know,
what are some of the symptoms and signs to look out for?
Right. So, you know, just, you know, like areas of skin damage is something to look out for. Your personal history is very important. You know, like whether, you know, you're someone who's out in the sun all the time, you know, exposures to UV radiation, especially the UVB radiation is the one which is the worst. And, you know, so this is like people who do like a lot of tanning beds, you know, you know, or just like just being out in the sun a lot without protection. You know, and the areas that get affected are usually areas that get a lot of sunlight, you know. So typical areas, you know, the top of your head, you know, your face, for example, top of your shoulders. But, you know, in the end of the day, any part of your body, but like top of the ears is a common site of squamous cell cancer, for example. But for a patient, basically what they'll be like, they'll notice that there's your the skin isn't completely okay, you know. And unfortunately, these people who are at risk of, you know, skin cancer, they usually have, like, extensive areas of, like, skin, like, sun damage, right?
Okay.
So, you know, like, that is why you cannot just rely on, like, a patient picking up something. You know, like, for example, if you have a spot on your back, like, you're never going to see it, right? And even your partner may not be in tuned and may not, like, pick it up, right? So folks who are at high risk, you know, they need to see a dermatologist who has a special instrument, a magnifying instrument with different light sources that can kind of like help them kind of like look at the whole body, including the parts that you usually don't look at very carefully, the folds of your body and, you know, your fingertips and, you know, like that's also part of your skin, right? And give you like a good like rundown. And they have like the expertise to kind of like figure out if a spot is concerning or not.
Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center, with us on our monthly visit. This is the Central Care Cancer Center Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia here on KVOE Live and Local. Stay tuned. We are back with more right after this.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue wants to let you know how much they truly appreciate your business. They also appreciate all the work of our teachers. During Teacher Appreciation this week, bring your school ID to Bobby D's and save 10% off your meal. Check out their specials on Facebook. Restaurant hours are 11 to 8, Monday through Saturday. Bobby D's, celebrating all teachers during Teacher Appreciation Week. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, where it's all about the meat.
At Central Care Cancer Center, we provide you with complete cancer care, such as chemotherapy and radiation therapy, all under one roof. Emporia is our home, too. That's why we're dedicated to bringing expert care to you, so you don't have to travel far. We're located right next to Newman Regional. Dr. Elamine, Dr. Perez Tamayo, and our amazing staff are all ready to assist you. Call today for an appointment, 342-1117, online, cccancer.com. Telehealth and second opinions available.
Your morning big gulp of information. Ron Thomas, Chuck Samples, and Greg Ray. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live and local.
Good morning.
You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia, joined as we are monthly by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist at Central Care Cancer Center. Located at 1401 West 12th Avenue, they're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. If you'd like more information or details, you can call 342-1117 or log on to cccancer.com. The month of May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and skin cancer is our topic today. And Dr. Wazir, let's talk about prevention and early detection. What are some ways people can help reduce their risk of skin cancer?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I can't harp on this enough, but it's like sun protection, right? So I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about adequate sun protection, right? So, here in our community in Emporia, unfortunately, a lot of this sun protection depends on your ethnicity, right? If you're Caucasian, you don't have enough melanocytes in your body to kind of offer you like a natural kind of skin protection, right? So in that case, you know, you need to, again, I'm not saying that you just avoid the sun at all times, right? But when you're out in the sun, you need to if you are at risk, right, you need to limit it, right? You don't want extended periods of time where you get like extensive skin damage. One of the big risk factors for people to develop skin cancer, melanomas in particular, is their history of sunburns. If you get a sunburn, you know, that's your body's way of saying that you're getting too much sunlight and, like, you're doing the damage that may lead to, like, cancer, right? So it's not something that I'll just put aloe on it. No, like, the fact that you got sunburned means that you're getting way too much sun. You're not protecting yourself well. Like, everybody sees sunscreen and, you know, that's the push. And in the summer, you get all the sunscreen ads and everything like that, right? My advice is that generally, you know, the lower SPF sunscreen, even though they're easier to put on and everything, they're almost useless for sun protection. You know, they do not offer significant UVB protection. So, you know, SPF 30, SPF 40, that's not going to cut it, right? At least SPF 75 or above, particularly 100. Now, this is hard to apply, you know. It's like a white, thick paste to kind of put on your face and stuff. So it's hard, right? So my advice is that, like, in places where, it's hard to apply, especially your face, you know, you need a wide-brim hat. Like, let's say you're doing yard work, right? You need a hat, you know. It's a personal protective equipment, okay, as they say, you know. you can wear, like, a shirt, of course. Like, you don't have to show a lot of skin to feel cool. You can wear linen or something, but you need something that blocks out the sun, that your arms aren't exposed. People who have lived out or in the community, sometimes you see, you know, their arms as they get older, like, there's a lot of sun damage, like severe sun damage, you know, especially for folks who are like farmers or work out in the yard, yep, a lot. So, you know, you get a lot of like sun exposure over there, you know. So, you know, easy way to kind of get around it is, like, you know, just find a shirt that's, it lets the air come in and out, like a pure cotton shirt, linen shirt, something like that, right? But it covers you and gives you the sun protection, right? Generally speaking, you know, darker colors, or lighter colors doesn't make a big difference, right? The dark absorbs the sunlight and the white reflects it back, right? So both afford a certain amount of, protection from the sun, right? I think one important thing is to stay hydrated as well, because, you know, we're kind of like focusing on melanoma, but like squamous cell cancer is also mostly sun-related, right? It's from sunlight. Other things that can help you kind of, decrease your risk of, skin cancer is, like, smoking plays a role, believe it or not, in skin cancers, right? Smoking overall, just generally speaking, like, decreases wound healing, right?
Okay.
By affecting the small blood vessels. So, you know, those folks are at an increased risk of squamous cell cancer of the skin. A basal cell cancer is also thought to be related to sun exposure, but it's more harder to kind of like point down. So just for your information of your viewer, I guess we'll come to it later on when you talk about the specifics. But one thing that you should know is that there's some inherited syndromes that you can have, right? So some of this melanoma, skin cancers, just happen more often in certain families, right? For example, you know, the BRCA1 mutation, people don't know this, but, you know, they have an increased risk of, along with breast cancer and uterine cancer, slightly high risk of developing melanoma as well. But there are other gene mutations as well. There's a syndrome called ataxia telangiectasia syndrome, for example. There's ATM mutations. There are other, mutations such as there's a gene called BAP. That can make you prone for getting the damage that can lead to skin cancers.
You know, I read something earlier this week on the dangers of spring sunburns. You were alluding to sunburns here a couple of minutes ago. And they say the angle of the sun during the month of May and in June, early June, are as the same as it is in August. You know, mm-hmm. So basically your chance of getting a sunburn is the same right now, this time of the year, as it is in August. It is warmer, obviously, in August, but the angle of the sun to do its damage is exactly the same as it is in mid-August. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there's some things that we don't even think about. Like, for example, like, you know, if you go to, like, Colorado or, like, higher elevation places, the UV protection kind of falls down. They have a lot of sunny days, not a lot of cover. Which, you know, like even some amount of clouds will, you know, absorb a lot of that UVB radiation. And you if you ever have gone hiking to any of these places which are at a higher elevation, at the right latitude, you'll notice that you get sunburned extremely easily. Even though it's not very warm out, it's not very hot out, it seems like it's a nice day, a nice windy day, what have you. But just as you said, you know, just the angle of the sun is such that, you know, it just delivers that, you know, that DNA damaging UVB radiation and, increases your risk of sunburn.
SPF 100, huh?
Yeah. The higher you go, the better it is.
So how are we supposed to look cool with that on, huh?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you something. So, you know, cricket is, you know, a sport in, you know, from the subcontinent, right? So, you have to be out there, you know, before they change the rules in the 80s. Like, one game would stretch out, and usually in the summers, for, like, 7 days. One game.
Right?
So, and you can imagine, like, the big cricketing nations on the planet are, like, South Africa and Australia and England, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the cricketers over there, you know, they used to, because they're out in the sun, right? They all have like these, you know, broad-based hats. It's part of the uniform, right? You have like these big hats to kind of like protect the skin of the face and everything. They're wearing long sleeve shirts most of the time, right? They have like this very thick, you know, like thing that looks like white. Like the faces are painted white while they're playing the game because, you know, like, they're out in the sun that long, you know, they know it's, you know, they just get like
day,
severe
yeah.
sunburned. Yeah. So, you know, they take it very seriously, you know, it's, I mean, you look kind of ridiculous. I'll be honest with you with a, you know, SPF 100 on your face. So that's why you have to invest in like hats and like long sleeve shirts and stuff of that nature, you know?
Well, the skin can't, it's nothing to mess around with though, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. So, you know, the skin cancers, you know, like the way we think about it, the first two ones, the squamous and the basal, right? The one good thing, well, not good thing about it, the one thing that is somewhat positive about them is that they have a low chance of going into your lymph nodes and spreading to other parts of your body, right? So for the most part, your dermatologist, even within the office, you know, they can do minor surgeries to your skin with pretty good cosmetic outcomes to kind of get rid of them, right? As long as they get the whole thing, you know, you're good, right? But melanoma, unfortunately, is the one that spreads. It goes into your lymph nodes. It has a tendency of spreading to other organs, right? And the spread is directly related to the depth it goes deep. As it goes deeper, it gets access to blood vessels and lymphatic vessels. And from then, it, you know, going to a lymph node or going to other parts of the body, you know, is just how that disease kind of works, right? You know, that is kind of quite important the way you think about it. Yeah, because, you know, part of the job is, of course, the dermatologist to kind of like check up on you, right? Because someone with sun damage, like all of that skin is just prone for developing all these cancers, right? But, you know, there are also some people who are just prone for developing melanoma specifically. And the strange thing is, melanoma is one cancer that, even though a lot of it is related to sun exposure, there are many subtypes of melanoma that have nothing to do with sun exposure. Like, for example, there's a type of melanoma you can develop under your nails that is particularly, you know, aggressive. This melanoma, you know, have you ever, Ron, have you ever hurt your finger and had like a bleed under your nail?
Yeah.
It becomes like kind of black and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It looks exactly like that.
Okay.
It looks exactly like that. The same melanoma can develop in the inside of your mouth, for example. You know, so you look inside your mouth and there's a dark lesion inside your mouth. The way you should think about it is that, yeah, the sun exposure part is an important part of it, but, you know, any lesion in your body that is pigmented, right, a mole, right, everybody has moles, like freckles and moles and stuff like that. But, like, if the mole is doing things that is off, even if it was very well behaved for many years, right, but now it's changing, right? So what are the things you need to look out for? We call it the ABCD of melanoma, right? So A is asymmetry, right? If it's perfectly circle, the chances are that this is not cancer, right?
Yeah.
But if it's like the sides are variegated, or as we say, like one side is bigger than the other side, is not symmetrical, then, you know, that's concerning. You need to talk to a dermatologist, right? B is borders, right? If the borders are smooth, right, the chances are less that this is cancer, right? But if the borders are kind of like, you know, like fingers coming out of it, like, you know, not exactly smooth, those are high risk of being cancer, right? C is the color, right? You know, the darker kind of color, a variegated color, like where it's brown on one side and darker on the other side, it's not one color like a normal mole, that should make you think that, hey, this is something is off about it. Or a mole that has changed color, right? It was lighter first, now it's darker, right? It was smaller first, now it's bigger. That kind of change, right? Those are kind of the things you want to look out for these in the moles. And as I kind of mentioned, you know, like melanoma, unfortunately, is not entirely due to, you know, like sun exposure. You know, it can happen in areas that do not see the sun at all, you know. So
great information. Dr. Ollie Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center. This is the Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this.
I'm not a professional gravel bike rider, but I do train like one, and I knew I needed help after I pushed it just a little too hard. Neumann Regional Health Medical Partners Orthopedics and Sports Medicine were recommended, and their team of specialists, therapists, and nurses provided the experienced care I needed right here in Emporia. They made sure I was ready for the big race. From start to finish, they took care of me. And the best thing is, I never had to leave home. Learn more or schedule an appointment at NeumannRH.org. That's NeumannRH.org.
At Central Care Cancer Center, we provide you with complete cancer care, such as chemotherapy and radiation therapy, all under one roof. Emporia is our home, too. That's why we're dedicated to bringing expert care to you, so you don't have to travel far. We're located right next to Neumann Regional. Dr. Elamine, Dr. Perez Tamayo, and our amazing staff are all ready to assist you. Call today for an appointment, 342-1117, online, cccancer.com. Telehealth and second opinions available.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia. Central Care Cancer Center is with us monthly, as is Dr. Ollie Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist at Central Care Cancer Center here in Emporia at 1401 West 12th. For more information, you can certainly call 342-1117 or please log on to cccancer.com. This is Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and skin cancer has been the topic today, and Dr. Wazir has shed some very important and wonderful information here this morning. Let's talk about options for treatment, Dr. Wazir. Can we look at is chemotherapy or radiation both involved here?
Yeah, so this actually, we'll focus on melanoma because That's the ones which we have to deal with. For the other two cancers, the squamous, the, you know, like the short answer is that a lot of it is surgery. Like if you catch it early, the fact that it doesn't spread to other organs, you know, usually you'll be able to find a dermatologist who may need to do Mohs surgery, like if it's in a spot in the face where, you know, so they can do a thing which is called Mohs surgery. It's a special dermatology fellowship. Like after you do dermatology, it's a special further year of training where they learn that specific surgery. So that's for squamous cell and basal cell, you know, they usually local treatment, they'll be able to get it. We sometimes have to deal with those cancers when they are in a spot that cannot be easily surgically removed, right? Basal cell cancer especially can kind of like bore into the skin and kind of like invade other organs. Like it doesn't spread per se so much, but it can kind of like infiltrate pretty deep and make an ulcer that kind of goes deeper in. Like a typical spot, for example, is like the nabiolabial fold, like right where your nose meets the fold, right? But, you know, focusing on melanoma for a second, the interesting thing is melanoma, historically speaking, we have known for a long time that it's not radiosensitive or chemosensitive. There's a study in 2001, I think, and then there's another study in 2008. Essentially what they did, they decided to use 6 different chemotherapies, and it was against one chemotherapy called dacarbazine, right? Okay. So they threw the kitchen sink. Like imagine 6 different of your most heavy-duty chemotherapies, and there's no difference. Like chemo just simply doesn't work for melanoma for some reason, right? At that time when we didn't have anything else, like we used it, right? But and even now, sometimes on occasion, we may have to use it as a last resort. But in all honesty, like melanoma as a cancer is just resistant to chemotherapy.
Not effective, huh?
Not effective at all, yeah. Mm. You never say it, not at all, but like we're talking about like very marginal improvements and like measured in like a month at most, right? So the thing that actually kind of forced the field to kind of think outside the box. So they had this problem where they're like, okay, this is not radiation doesn't work that well for it. If we catch it early, that's well and good. We can do surgery and stuff, take it out, and you know that can be curative. But we don't have any treatment that we can give that can kind of stop it. So this kind of led to a lot of research to be done in melanoma. And the first thing that kind of worked was that there was this treatment they used to do was with a drug called interferon. Right, so they used a drug called interferon and another drug called IL-2, which are these, kind of like hormones in your body that kind of tell your immune system what to do, right? So they're kind of like tangentially related to your immune system. But the problem is that giving these drugs, you can only give it in an ICU, and a good portion of the patients who got the drug would die from just the treatment, right? Because you're at the hospital getting this infusion, sometimes for 30 days, right? But the first time what they saw was that there's a small percentage of those patients who got these treatments who had long-term recovery from metastatic melanoma. So for the first time, they noticed that, hey, we give them these treatments, which kind of affect the immune system in certain ways. And these folks, they're the only people who survive and, you know, kind of like survive melanoma. So this started, after this, the ball started rolling. Like they figured out eventually that there are two pathways that you can kind of like target in your immune system. I don't want to get into sticks of it, but one is called PD-L1 and one is called CTLA-4. And essentially those drugs have like completely transformed the way we think about melanoma, how we treat it. This disease became a cancer, metastatic melanoma, which means a skin cancer that has moved from the skin to other parts of the body, like liver or a faraway lymph node. It became a thing that where, you know, survival is measured in months, to now that it's not unusual to see people alive 6 months afterwards, or, sorry, 6 years afterwards. You know, like the last time I checked, it's around, at the 5-year survival was up to like 40, 48, 49%.
Okay.
So very, very good. So, you know, a testament to the fact that these new treatments are very, very effective. So these treatments are called immunotherapies. And essentially what it is an infusion that you get every month or so. And that basically trains your immune system to fight melanoma, the melanoma cancer. And the good thing is it fights it everywhere in your body, right? The other kind of big advance that was made was that they figured out that around 50% of your melanoma is from a mutation called the BRAF mutation, right? So they developed a drug that can block that mutation, but you know that's only in 50% of the folks, and that became a cornerstone of therapy as well. So for the first time, we got like two treatments that were actually effective. So this all we already had figured this out by like 2004, 2005. So since then, the progress that we have made is that we have kind of identified the folks. Like you go to a dermatologist, right? They find a big spot in your body, God forbid, that has melanoma, right? The melanoma has features that you know that this melanoma may come back, right? So, you know, they have figured out ways that you can give these treatments to patients where you have removed the melanoma. And you give the treatment, you know, in the hopes that the melanoma doesn't come back. So increasing the cure fraction, right? And that has really transformed the field. Like, you know, if you have melanoma that is somewhat advanced, has high-risk features, you can give treatments that can vastly increase your chance of cure.
Great information. Once again, this month, Doctor was there. We always appreciate you coming in. Learn a lot. And hopefully people, follow the instructions. Protect your skin, number
Absolutely.
One.
Don't smoke. Protect your skin. Long sleeve shirts. Wear the hat. And, you know, enjoy yourself, but be smart about it. And, you know, melanoma dermatologists, you know, if you're one of those people who has a lot of skin lesions, has a lot of skin burns, you got to talk to your primary care doctor and say, hey, I need to see a dermatologist. I need to be kind of checked out, you know, make sure that all these moles and things you have aren't anything serious. Because if you catch it early, very high chance of cure, right? But at least for melanoma, you know, like once it becomes metastatic, we have great treatments, excellent treatments out there nowadays. But again, you know, we still have a lot of work to do.
Follow the ABCs of the mole.
Absolutely.
The doctor was here.
Very important. If you have a mole, don't sit around, you know, like check out the ABCs.
No doubt about that. Dr. Ali was here. Medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center here in Emporia at 1401 West 12th. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. Call 342-1117 or you can find them online at cccancer.com. We're back with another edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. In a month, the second Monday of every month is when we're here with Dr. Ali Wazir. This has been the Talk of Emporia on KVOE. We are live and local.
Live.